Heather.
And I'm Brittany.
We are the okayest moms, but we're also creatives, businesswomen, and best friends.
This podcast was created as a community for the modern mom.
We know you're doing your best despite the conflicting messages that you aren't doing it as well as someone else.
We believe in self-care, mom friends as our sanity, and that motherhood looks different for everyone.
Most of all, we believe that you are more than just mom.
So join us as we talk about a range of topics from motherhood to frivolous reality TV and everything in between.
Welcome to the Okayest Moms Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms the Podcast. Brittany here, along with Heather.
Hello, how are you?
Good, if you stop rustling around.
These new microphones, I even breathe and she yells.
They pick up everything.
I'm sorry. I will sit on my hands. I never realized I talk with my hands nearly as much until we started this.
Listen, I didn't start realizing until I started editing these podcasts how much we move around when we talk.
Well, I'm not operating at full speed today because let me just tell you a little story about our night over in this house.
Oh, no.
So Isla has this thing with clocks, and that's kind of like a characteristic trait of autism, is that kids kind of have this like thing that they kind of, not obsession isn't really the right word, but she's just mesmerized by a clock. It's pretty much the only way you can say it. She always has been. It's the ticking, it's the moving, it's all of it. So she has this old school alarm clock, like bring, like that, like old school.
Oh no, I'm scared.
So months ago, I mean, at some point past, I don't know how long ago anymore, it went off in the middle of the night and scared the shit out of everybody. And we said, no more batteries ever again in this thing. Cause like it literally scared the shit out of all four of us. And about a week ago, started up with asking for batteries in it. And we told her absolutely not. Well, guess who caved? It was not me. AJ is a sucker. He will always give them batteries for their noisiest, most obnoxious toys. And we told her, if you get these batteries, you better not touch it, because we had it set so that it wouldn't go up. It wasn't set to the middle of the night. And we said, do not touch any of these knobs. Okay, I won't. I promise. Well, I think you know where this story is going. So at about 2 a.m, we all got the shit scared out of us and
Oh my God.
Nobody went back to sleep. So.
Oh no.
Well, the kids did. The kids, AJ ran in there like the room was on fire to turn it off. And he said the kids hadn't even moved. But then they slowly started to stir throughout the rest of the morning. And of course, this is a week where there's conferences. So Isla's an early kid. So it was already, we already knew this week was doomed. And
I'm sorry. Who bought her that clock?
I honestly can't remember. I want to say it was a family friend who, you know, a well-meaning person who knew that Isla loved clocks and she loves an alarm clock. And it just no matter how much you think a kid loves clocks, do not buy them an alarm clock. Just please don't.
I was going to say, well-meaning or not.
So, I mean, that combined with watching Atlanta right before bed, my head is just out of sorts.
Your head is a buzz.
It's spinning.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so sorry about that. And I would say, I hope you get a nap later, but I know that won't happen.
I don't know. Nolan's pretty tired too. He crawled into bed with me this morning. After, because they have one of those okay to wait clocks. And so they come in every morning at 6:45 when the light goes off. And usually they'll crawl in bed with me and I'll make them snuggle. And I pulled myself out of bed knowing I had to get Isla to school early. And I told Nolan, I said, okay, you can lay in bed for one more minute if you want to. And he goes, Alexa, turn the lights off, and pulls the covers over his head and rolls over. So even Nolan is feeling it this morning.
Oh my God. Teenager Nolan, is that you?
Oh God. It's not going to be pretty.
Should we dive in?
We have to start with Atlanta. This was a rare live viewing for both of us.
I watched as it was new on the West Coast. I felt like
commercials and all.
Commercials and all.
In one of the Facebook housewife groups we're in, somebody posted "Happy Bolo Day for those who celebrate."
I just saw that earlier. Oh my God.
So in that spirit, happy Bolo Day to all of you.
If you haven't watched yet, turn this off, go view it, and then come back.
Where to begin?
Oh my God. Well, let's start at the beginning.
All right.
Have you seen Basic Instinct?
No. And actually, I didn't understand that reference. I hated it. I thought it was very cheesy.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'd seen Basic Instinct, I would have understood it more. Actually, AJ was watching with me and he was taken aback. He doesn't typically watch Atlanta with me and he was intrigued, but he told me it was Basic Instinct, which I guess I kind of, I don't know. It was not for me.
Yeah. I was worried because I was afraid it was going to be one of those things that they teased for so long and then it ends up being super overproduced. But at the end, I feel like it mostly worked. It was fine.
Yeah. I didn't have high hopes when it opened with Kenya smoking a cigarette and then giving some cheesy scripted line about.
Yeah. What a freak hoe is. Yeah.
Yeah. More on Kenya in a minute.
So the night of the bolo, they come home from dinner. Did they go to dinner? Or
yeah, I believe that's what it was.
Okay. They come home from dinner and Candy has outfits for everyone, which were, I mean, can you imagine somebody like bringing these outfits for you to wear? I just realized my life is so boring. None of my friends would ever bring these outfits for us to wear.
That is not a bachelorette party I'm familiar with. I mean, I've been to bachelorette parties with, or maybe we went to the strip club. I don't know. Details are fuzzy.
Like that's normal.
But I mean, I've been to bachelorette parties where there were strippers around and nope, that was not my experience.
Never a stripper in a cage with Chanel on.
No. What was Marlo's line about? She said something about like, I see your designer and I know it's fake, but
I'm okay with it or something. Yeah. Marlo and her designers. I do love it.
Oh, I love me some Marlo. But Candy as the mistress.
Oh my God. Candy. I mean, we knew Candy had this side to her with the dungeon and with, you know, all the rumors surrounding her marriage. But God, she really brought it.
You did. I mean, and didn't break character. And all the other women played along. Like, no problem.
Right.
Which was so funny to me because in a group of women that big, for there not to be one single party pooper.
This group, God, I wanted to be there. Like, not just because of the stripper of it all, but just they're so fun and they're hilarious. And I'm just really needing a girls' trip.
Yeah, I think it might be that. I don't know that that's my environment.
Oh, I certainly would not fit in, but I would love to be there.
Yeah. I was shocked at how much Kenya participated.
I know. She's got some pent up sexual energy, I feel
like. Oh, yeah, for sure. So Bolo comes in, does his work, and then he kind of hides really from the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the women kick out the production crew and turn all the cameras. Which,
oh my gosh,
I thought it was interesting that they just turned them and not cover them.
Yeah. Well, I think they covered a few.
Right.
Some they ignored, which is how we got the little bit of footage we had.
Right. I think it was just because they were just so drunk. They maybe thought.
Yeah. How do you feel about this? Because I've seen arguments that are like, they're on a reality show. Why would they be allowed to do this? But also, it's not like they're on The Real World where they agree to have their whole life filmed.
I'm fine with it. I mean, if we can't see Luann with the pirate and that's fine, then what's wrong with this?
Yeah.
I don't know. And we did get so much of it still.
Right. And it's not like they weren't at this house where they weren't going to talk about it the next morning.
Right. And it's not like a summer house below deck or something where there's like cameras in every corner of every bedroom. It's no, they didn't. I'm fine with it. I think anybody, it's not like they kicked him out before anything even started. Like they gave you the Bolo striptease. They gave you candy as the minister. Like they still gave you enough that even if that's all there was, that would have been fine. I think everything we got afterwards was just a cherry on top. So
for sure. Yeah.
And you know what? No other franchise would have done any of that. So
a quarter of that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So everything.
All those people can just sit down.
I feel like if you don't watch, why are you listening to this? But they blurred out Bolo's private areas when they were covered. Like, this is the kind of girth we were working with here.
I didn't understand that because at some points it wasn't blurred, but then at other points it was blurred. I think that I don't think they were just blurring his penis. I think they were blurring like other things.
Situations.
Yeah.
And also, this goes back to the costumes that Candy gave them. Portia's nipples were blurred out the entire time. Every time I saw her. I'm like, and she rocked that outfit. How did they do that?
They all that, and they were not conservative outfits.
No.
So that's what I mean, for all of them to just be so game and be like, okay, yep, we'll do it.
So this was for Cynthia's bachelorette party, and it was a surprise to Cynthia. And when she was sitting on that couch, she looked like a scared puppy. If anybody was the wet blanket, it was her.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I feel like they gave her, I mean, of the outfits, hers was the most conservative. So
we
knew her audience. Oh my gosh. So they kick out the production crew. They do their best to hide some cameras. And then that's when things really get started. It's like the Blair Witch Project footage. We can see Portia and Toya are making out, and you really, honestly, that's like the only thing you can actually like see what's happening.
Yeah.
Everything else is just like grainy footage.
Arrows with names pointing. And
right. And so stuff happens. Bolo is out and about. The women are still awake. And then sounds like Marlo and Kenya go to bed. And then so does, who else was it?
Cynthia and Drew, but then Drew comes back down.
Okay.
I like the way Drew owned it.
I did, but I am nervous for her.
Yes.
I think it was very spiteful, Drew's involvement with Bolo, which, I mean, I get. Her husband took off to Tampa with no warning, no nothing. But I don't know. It just, like, if you want to divorce him, then do that. Don't play this tit for tat game.
Yeah. Oh, I think what she's owning about it is that it was just like a rough lap dance, for lack of a better word. Yeah. Like, she's thinking like, I did nothing wrong. It was just kind of like crazy and we went wild, and that's why she was owning it so much. But what it looks like is different than that.
Right. Well, and also the situation kind of presented itself. It's not like she like sought it out. So
right. Yes, exactly. But her husband is a douche, and I'm sure, I mean, I watched Watch What Happens Live right after, and she was on it, and she was explaining like, yeah, of course he was mad. And I just feel like it was so much worse than what she is putting off. Their marriage is
in shambles.
Awful. Yeah. And I really hope she does leave him. I'll say it.
So where I was confused is where Kenya kept coming in and out of her room. And also, she's so worried about what Mark's going to say and her custody battle and this, that, and the other thing. But she's got her daughter in the house when all this is happening. I don't know. If you have a nanny and you knew that was going to happen that night, wouldn't you be like, I'll take the day, I'll take the morning shift and you can take her overnight. Like, I don't know. If you are just so concerned about what your ex-husband or husband, whatever he is now, is going to do to you in court. Like, this doesn't feel like the environment to let loose.
Right.
Which is probably why she's coming so hard for everybody, which, ugh.
Yeah. Well, she's doing that producing thing, which honestly, in this case, so the next day they're sitting by the pool and Kenya is acting like the judge and jury to find out what happened the night before. And it's annoying because obviously everybody else is operating under this girl code. Like, we're not going to talk about specifics of what happened. And she's sitting here trying to lay everybody's stuff on the table. And it's annoying. But as a viewer, I'm glad she's doing it because otherwise we wouldn't know some of the stuff we know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not like, I don't know. It's like different for me because this is stuff, especially like with Tanya. I don't want to say Tanya. It doesn't feel natural. Like, I feel like she's going to ruin lives and relationships. It's not like, oh, you said this or whatever. Like, it's not, this is like a new level of Kenya messiness and I don't appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, if it was anything else, I think like, yes, do your self-production with your cheesy dramatic performance and all that. But like with this, I don't know. It was just so, I don't know. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I don't like Kenya.
No, I get that. And she pushes it the whole episode, obviously.
She's so annoying. It's just so sad, all of it. You can tell. And she doesn't know girl code because she's never had like good girlfriends. Cynthia's the best one she's had. And so I don't know. And Cynthia threw her a huge bone by helping her out with Marlo. And I think that was all planned. I think Portia's dead on with that. Here comes everybody's against Kenya. And oh, all of a sudden, she's got an ally.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the Marlo-Kenya makeup situation?
I don't know. I feel like it'll be short-lived. They both can't keep their mouth shut.
I do feel like we're seeing a softer side of Marlo, though.
I felt like that started last season when her nephews that she's raising, and God damn it, give her a peach. Why isn't she a main cast member?
I mean, she caught a goddamn shark.
She caught a shark. Oh my God. Who said she was like, do we get to eat it now? A freaking shark. That's the other thing. A few of them the next morning left for a boat trip. Okay. What is their secret to not being hungover as fuck the next morning? They literally got like 2 hours of sleep. They look amazing. And they went on a boat after the night they had.
I think the secret is a shot of Bolo first night.
So refreshing.
I feel like we skipped over this part with my side tangent about how much I hate Kenya. So Kenya claims to be downstairs in the kitchen early in the morning, around 5 or 6, and she heard noises from one of the bedrooms. And she just happened to be in there getting milk for her daughter at the refrigerator and heard something. She claims it was Portia. She wasn't quite sure who the other voice was, but Bolo was in there as well for 45 minutes.
So she waited 45 minutes before she took milk to her daughter?
Apparently. And here's my thing. If you're standing out there for 45 minutes, how do you not know who the other woman was in there?
Right. You know what? Something did happen. Who cares?
Of course. Exactly. So what?
Who gives a shit? What she's doing is she is producing a show. She is trying to cement her place on it because we know she needs the show and that's perfectly fine. And this is the way to do it. Being the villain, in quotes, you know?
Yeah. But I feel like she's trying so hard not to, I don't think she's trying to be the villain. I think she just can't help herself. It's who she is.
Right. And it just fits nicely in that villain role. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But also Marlo did come down and said the same thing.
She did, but Marlo also said that morning when they were getting ready to go on the boat, she's like, when she was standing right there by the front door with Drew, they were talking about how they heard something. And Marlo's like, I heard it, but I'm not going to say anything. She's like, you don't say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Oh, God. What a wild night. I just can't get over it.
I don't know how they were awake that long.
Oh, my God. It's incredible to me. I mean, they're older than us, and there's no way I would make it half that amount of time.
No way. Especially after a dinner? No, I'm ready for bed.
And then to look so amazing in the morning and have so much energy to actually do things. I would be a haggard wreck.
And they made food and cooked and like, yeah, no.
They are living their best lives.
Hot sharks.
The fucking shark. Like that part of the episode would have been great in any random episode. And we got all this. This, I mean, Atlanta is doing it.
Exactly. And that's what makes me so mad at Kenya is just shut up. Like, you're all doing enough without that. So don't be messing with people on top of it. But she's miserable and misery loves company. And she just wants to take down whoever she can. And it's just, I don't even think it's for the show. I think it's just, that's who she is. She's just.
We got a to be continued again, which I don't love, but I get.
I feel like this is like a special.
Like I know. It's, oh my gosh. And then this morning I was watching the Merrick Garland confirmation and I just kept imagining Bolo busting in. And random. Can't stop thinking about him.
I mean, Bolo, he's going to be stuck in the old cerebellum for a while.
Oh my God. All right. Should we move on to New Jersey?
Yes, please. Oh my gosh. Coming out. A bang.
Oh yeah. Talk about good TV on right now.
Oh my gosh.
And we thought we would be struggling for good TV right now.
Well, I am still struggling a little bit with the COVID of it all, especially in New Jersey.
We didn't even touch on that in Atlanta, but it made zero sense that they were wearing face shields with Bolo. It made no sense. There was no rhyme or reason to it.
No. But what did make me laugh was just always catching a glimpse of the Clorox wipes on the mantle.
It's almost like I have to stick my COVID brain on a shelf when I watch these shows.
Right. Which is hard when you're seeing a parking lot party under a tent.
Oh my God. With zero masks to be seen.
I know. And how they like casually slip in. Well, we all got a test. So, and it's just, I don't know. It's where we're at. It's our new reality.
Yeah, for sure. The whole, at the beginning when she's like, oh, I wish we could hug. And then by the end of it, they're kissing each other on the cheek.
That's what irritates me about it. Either be all in or all out.
Like, yeah. Because there's no gray area when it comes to this. Like, you're either going to have contact with these people or you're not.
Exactly. So, pick one. Either your mask, face shield, no touching, no parking lot parties, or you're like making out. There's no in between. Okay. So the episode starts. There's a lot going on. Let's start with Dolores. I don't understand, but maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's not for me to understand.
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's very strange.
It is a modern family.
A modern family. Yes, true. Not strange, modern.
And I don't, why is she with David? Why?
That's maybe obviously, he's got a Bolo dick.
Well, but she's not even getting that because he's always at the hospital.
Oh, it is very interesting. I think Dolores is a person that just needs companionship.
Yeah.
And she doesn't let go of relationships maybe at all.
Obviously not
with romantic relationships, but I mean, also that's the father of her son too. So maybe, you know, that's forced him to be in her life more and they just,
well, I don't think that forces them to live together and sit in her closet while she shows off her
ass scar.
Right. There's some blurred lines there. Jennifer. I love Jennifer's dad. He is filling a no-no sized hole in my heart, and I'm here for it. I think they're all going to have hell to pay talking all that shit about the mom.
Jennifer has grown on me so much.
I like her individually. I don't like her in the group.
Yeah. And it looks like from the previews, we're going to get a lot more into personal issues this season.
Yes.
Her.
And she had the Rona early on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, early, I want to say maybe like April or May of last year. So she probably feels comfortable because she's got those antibodies. And Teresa. Nothing new with her. Same old tree.
Same old shit.
I feel like in her and Melissa, the Gorga unit is kind of the same old, same old. I'm over the Joe trope of like, Antonia's grown up and blah, blah, blah. And
I'm done with all those traditional values. And he's like the epitome of that. It's so annoying.
Well, I think Melissa is too. And I kind of think that's the wedge between them this season. So, although I do kind of feel like that's a little trumped up for the previews. I don't know that they're the ones they're talking about.
Yeah, no, there's some air of mystique around who it's going to be.
Whose marriage.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Marge's house?
It's a lot. A lot. But, I mean, it's a Marge house.
Yeah.
It fits her personality and her brand perfectly.
I love her office, but you know what? It's her. She's never going to resell that thing.
No, she loves it. So, and Joe's finally working on it. So let him.
That house is going to be on Zillow Gone Wild or whatever that account is.
Oh God, Marge. I just love her. Your husband's in the pool.
Okay. So the main event of this episode was Evan's birthday party, which is Jackie's husband. And I'm with Jackie. Like, have a celebration, even I guess if it's in a tent in a restaurant parking lot.
Well, yes, I will adopt that attitude when we're actually out of a pandemic. Right. But yeah, what do you think of Evan?
Do I believe Tree's rumors? Is that what you're asking?
Do you think there is smoke or fire where there's smoke?
No, I don't. I think Teresa is a ding dong. There's nothing going on in her brain. She got that quote of if there's smoke, there's fire from Jackie because she used it against Teresa. So like she couldn't even come up with like her own thing. Like she, it's just so.
I think Teresa had all of those cheating rumors constantly in her, like, this isn't even like a new narrative for her to write. She's just turning it around.
It's just like garbled up shit that has been thrown at her for years. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to try this. And it's like, we know that story.
Yeah. And I do think that like the fall of the OG housewife, mm-hmm. it has to be on the mind of her, of Ramona. You know,
yeah, because she came out swinging at that party.
Yeah,
she went in intentionally with that, and she has never liked Jackie ever since Jackie's first season when she mentioned how she went to her book signing. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
So she's always had it out for her, and then last season, yeah, was the like final straw. Remember when they were in, was that Jamaica, and Jackie was talking all the trash about Joe and when he was deported and all that.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
So you can see the gears turning with Teresa. Like you can just like follow the breadcrumbs and know exactly what she tried to do.
She's going to control this storyline this season. Yeah, for sure.
Right. She already doesn't like Jackie. She needs revenge. Revenge is her MO against everybody. Revenge and rumors. Like it's this formula that she has with everybody. I mean, and it's always like the same thing. She tried it with Melissa when she was a stripper. And so it's always like some kind of like sexual promiscuity storyline. And it's just, she's not eaten up with brains.
Yeah. Yeah. And to do it at his birthday party too. So fucked up.
And I mean, like, she, like, went around like she was looking for a stick of gum. Like, hey, have you heard about Evan? Have you heard about Evan? Like,
right. Like, she could have just said it to one person and let it naturally take it. She's just a dumbo.
How Jackie or Evan didn't hear that at that party, I will never know. Because you know she's not quiet. You know she wasn't even trying to cover it up.
She's like that drunk person that's like, I'll tell you a secret.
It's kind of like Kenya. Like, I don't like these rumors where it takes down like a marriage or a family, or especially when they're completely baseless, like Teresa's, mm-hmm. which the rumors against Teresa and Joe were steeped in fact. They were not baseless at all. Teresa just pulled this out of her butt and is trying to sell it. And that's what annoys me about it. Like, your job as a housewife is to, I mean, there's these people give you plenty of real shit to come at them for. Mm-hmm. So why do you need to make something up? Like,
agreed.
So where do you, especially because in Jackie and Evan's marriage, there's never been like any reason to believe. Like, I mean, when Joe called Teresa on national television his cunt wife, like, I think, you know, it wasn't too hard to believe that he might be cheating on you. I mean, Evan has never been anything but endearing and loving, which I guess I could see why Teresa would be suspect of that, but.
But that's her own trauma speaking.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Oh, Teresa. I'm having a real hard time with all these Teresa stans too. It's like, do you forget all the shit she's done? Like.
I'm here for watching these OGs crumble.
Yeah. I mean, it's the natural progression. Like, we are progressing as a society. Like, what once was entertaining isn't anymore. And
right.
If they're still stuck in that and they're not progressing, then bye.
I know. But hey, she's got that restitution to pay. She's working it. I mean, you got to give her that.
I know. Okay, so the fight, the main event in this episode.
Yes, because of course we have a trip planned right out the gate. And
honestly, they're the best when they're on a trip, so I'm here for
that's it. That's true. That's true. So they're at Marge's jungle treehouse for the neutral ground. And so Jackie comes with Teresa. Can we just take a moment to talk about Teresa's look?
I don't remember it.
It was like a high-low top, bedazzled. I mean, it looked like...
How did I forget this?
It looked like something from like season 2 of New Jersey. It was like one of those, like, you know, early 2000s tops.
Well, she doesn't have very much money right now, so she's resizing.
I saw so many people coming for Jackie's outfit that I was like, excuse me, did we not see this over here?
Yeah. It's New Jersey. Like, what do people expect?
That's true. Very true. So whose side are you on in this fight?
I'm side no one. I feel like, so what happens is... Teresa is not admitting she made up this lie. She's saying where there's smoke, there's fire, and Evan could be cheating on her. Side note, do you think she's implying that Evan is cheating with a man?
I did not think that until I heard other people.
Yeah, same.
I honestly don't think Teresa's that smart. Also, I guess my question is, are they going to the gym? I mean, they started filming in, I think, October. So were gyms an option? Like, is she talking about this happening in before times? Like, I can't imagine that a pandemic creates a lot of opportunities for extramarital affairs.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. What is the timeline here? But you know, she didn't think that through. That doesn't.
No. Well, that's what I mean. It's just like another hole in her argument. But who knows what they're doing in Jersey? I mean, I know they got a GTL. That's what they do. So
they have this meeting, and Jackie comes back at Teresa to these cheating rumors, saying it would be like me saying she heard a rumor Gia does coke in the bathroom at parties. And did you notice Teresa's response is so delayed? Like, she, at first she's like, yeah. And then it like, oh, it's my kid. And then she decides to blow up and call her every cuss word under the sun.
I think that's Teresa's normal reaction. I think any speedier of a reaction is production. I think that they have cut out the dead airspace. I think every conversation with her has at least a 30-second lag time. I'm telling you, you can watch the gears turn, which is like, it's not even entertaining anymore because she's got one track in there. There's nothing, she's got no other game plan. I think it's just, Teresa, you got no legs to stand on. And that's her other MO. When she runs out of like things to do, she just fucking implodes and just
flips tables.
Yeah, starts screaming cuss words and then leaves. Yeah. Because she can't think beyond her bullshit.
Yeah. I think Jackie could have used a different analogy to prove a point. I don't think there's any truth to that Gia does cocaine in the bathroom. Although she is 19, so maybe she does. Who cares? Yeah, she's in college. Like, who cares? Like, it was an analogy to show it would be like me saying something terrible about somebody you love. And it made the point, I guess.
You know what? I'm fine with it because I think when you're talking to someone like Teresa, you can say things in a nice way a million times and she's not going to get it. I think you have to like slap her across the face with something before it lands. Yeah. And you know what? Is it always nice and rosy? No. But did she get the friggin' point? Finally. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, she literally went through all the women and all of them were like, stop saying this. And she's like, what? What's about? Hey, have you heard it? She had to be slapped across the face with it. And she didn't know what to do. And I think she started to realize like, oh, fuck, I have no exit strategy here. And so she just started cussing up a blue streak and just left.
And Marge throughout this whole thing. So stressed. What do I say? What do I do? And not a stitch of makeup on, which I love that about her.
I love Marge. And then, you know what? I'm fine with using Gia because that's who Joel.
She's on the show. She's had confessionals. Like, it's not like she's not involved at all. She's not that third daughter.
For all intents and purposes, she's a friend of. She had multiple confessionals throughout her life. She was Teresa's like main support person last season. Teresa had many scenes with her, like confiding in her, talking about like things. Like Gia is a cast member. So sorry. So this trip to like whatever they're doing is gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I'm here for it. It was a good first episode. It doesn't go down from here.
Right. I am interested to see who's gonna be on Teresa's side because Dolores, I'm sure. But That's hard to defend.
Yeah, for sure.
When she's got absolutely no evidence.
I forgot. I can't say.
Okay. All right. Shall we move on to Dallas?
Yep.
Okay. How are you feeling about Tiffany?
I still really like her. I understand how she's getting on some people's nerves. But when she said the thing about she's never had any girlfriends and she thinks she's doing it wrong, I can see why she's kind of overcompensating and trying really, really, really hard to make these women like her, to fit in with these women.
Right.
And it just made me sad because you could do better.
Yeah, exactly. Like, screw these women. They're assholes. So. That house that they're at is amazing. Oh my
God, I want to go there so bad. Every trip the housewives go on right now, I'm like, oh.
But that one in particular, as far as, I mean, I feel like all they've done this year is go to lake houses. And that one, I thought the Atlanta one was the best, but I think the one on Lake Austin is the best.
Yeah, I think so too.
And the chicken shit bingo just really topped it off for me.
Was that at the house?
Yeah, some lady brought it in.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm pretty
sure. Only in Texas.
If you just Google chicken shit bingo Austin, I think you're going to find a traveling lady who can bring it to you. Oh, good old
Pat. These things.
Texans.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, Carrie, please tell me what she brings to the show. Ready, go.
Lots of tequila talk. I don't know. I guess she brings the drama between her and Deandra. I feel like she makes Deandra short circuit a little bit.
Just making Deandra seem more likable.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we don't need. Because Deandra is also a monster.
It's true. It's like these two very annoying people are fighting and I am on Deandra's side, but it's also like, I don't know.
Do I want to defend Deandra?
Right.
I'm kind of bored with them. Cam is, she's also sing, she's got one tune, just like Teresa. And her husband is a sad little man.
Yeah, I really don't have much to say about them. I guess the house was the most exciting part. And
it was.
All I can really remember is Tiffany's.
Yeah. Story. Yeah. And I'm not interested in Brandy. Like, can we stop with the blow up dolls and like the, I don't, it's not funny.
Yeah. But I did laugh really hard when their big tour bus couldn't make it to the house and they had to walk half a mile in heels to get.
That's the kind of housewife's content I need. Yeah, Dallas is kind of a letdown. I mean, not a letdown, but I mean, I guess just compared to, you know, there's no Bolo, so it's hard.
It is very hard when you line Dallas up next to Atlanta and expect it to match up because it falls very flat.
Yeah. Well, and then you have like the, with Stephanie and Shrek, whatever his name is.
Shrek.
I mean, like, they have this, like, traditional marriage, and she's trying to buck against that, and he's fighting back, and it's like, we've seen this. Something
else. She's bucking against it by creating a foundation for his fucking lockers. Like, it's not.
I know.
Yay, you have somewhere to funnel your money. Like,
well, you know that that's really rocking their worlds. All right, Salt Lake.
I am going to say something that's already been said 100 times before.
Okay.
This is the best part two of reunion we've ever had.
It really, it's good. It's really
usually good. Part two is the worst one.
Right. It's like the like filler with enough nuggets that you need for part three.
Yes. And that's when the explosions happen. I guess we'll find out if part three is actually better, but I am excited.
Let's talk about Lisa Barlow.
Oh my God. You go first.
She is one of those where I can't stand her, but I think we need her for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
What is her beef with Heather? How could you hate Heather?
Okay, so what is the timeline here between, because I know they filmed the season pre-COVID, mm-hmm. and now they didn't do the reunion until halfway through the season airing. That's a lot of time. Like, what happened in between?
Oh. Hmm. I don't know. I thought they filmed it after the season. I didn't realize it was halfway through.
No, that's why they're all separated so far.
Okay. And it seems like they flew to New York, which seems
strange. Didn't they?
I can't quite tell, but it seems like it. I don't know. What do I know? I don't think anything happened. I think like Lisa's just a bitch and she's trying to pretend like she's too good for Heather.
Yeah. Well, I think that was illustrated in the first couple episodes, pretending mm-hmm. she didn't know who she was. And a right. good time girl.
Yeah. And I think they just never really like crossed paths since then.
Yeah, maybe.
And so I think like nothing really changed. It's just we didn't see it. I think Lisa fancies herself a Bethany. Mm. And I'm not into that.
Yeah, no. She may fancy herself that way, but nobody sees her that way.
So apparently she knows Bethany or has met her. They worked on some event together years ago. And I saw somebody tweeted at Bethany and she's like, oh, I remember her. I didn't know she was on the show. Like, good for her. So I think she is trying. I don't know. I don't like this, like pretending you're a mogul
thing. Yeah. Yeah, she, well, it's so funny during the season when her husband was like, oh, we need more time with you. Like, we don't need you working as much. And she's like, okay, we'll start a business together. Like, oh, so annoying.
Those kids have no freaking clue what's going on.
No.
They didn't name it. They didn't pick anything.
No. Yeah, no, she's
a vision board.
But it's very much like that Mormon mentality too, of like appear perfect and goal setting, getting whatever. It's like very right. much Rachel Hollis-y feels like.
Yes. Yeah. Ugh. Well, and then her whole spiel of like, I just like myself. Okay. There's a difference between being cocky and confident, and you're not striking that balance.
Yeah, she came in hot for sure.
I also found it funny that Meredith didn't really jump to her defense.
Yeah. Are they not as close? Well, this whole like big time period. I feel like things have had to have happened. They haven't started filming again yet, right?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, okay. How do you think Heather did against all of her attacks?
I think she was fine. I mean, I don't really know what, I don't know. I think Lisa was coming at her with not a whole lot. And I believe Heather. Now Mary finally found her way out of her closet.
Oh, Mary.
There's a lot there.
I didn't think we were going to get much from her in the reunions, and we're getting it.
I disagree. I feel like Andy was very easy on her.
Yeah.
Let's hear more about your cult. Let's talk about that. Let's talk a little bit more about your finances. Like, where are all these houses coming from? I don't know. I think he was very gentle with her.
Well, because she short circuits a little bit, and just kind of the way she talked about how her husband / step grandfather buys her Chanel. So she feels very lucky. And it, you know, just, I can see what she's trying to express. Like, he takes care of her, but in her mind, it's like all material
things. Right. I feel like she's not, like, what do they call it in court when the witness like can't stand trial because they can't like psychologically handle it? I kind of feel like that's why Andy was going easy on her, because
she would just die.
She's gonna like melt into a puddle. I just let her live in her closet with all of her designers.
Yeah.
I hope she's gone. I don't know. I don't like giving attention to this woman who's clearly running some kind of cult.
Right. So, and then what did you think about her saying that it wasn't actually in the will that she married him and they waited a few years? Like, everything we know about her is not true.
But no, well, I had heard that. So basically what happened was, after the grandma died, the family came together because the grandpa said, step grandpa, whatever, that they got together to pray, and grandpa went by himself and said, God told me that Mary should marry me, that's what the grandma wants. So it's very, like, I could see how that could work in Utah, because there's a lot of, I mean, that's kind of the basis of Mormonism, of like, God sent me this message and you should all just believe me. And that's why the mom is mad, because clearly he just made it up.
It's so wild. And then the sex question about their wedding night. No, I was on my period. Thank God. Like, what is happening?
I need like Sonia levels of dysfunction. I don't need Mary levels of dysfunction. It's too much. There's a lot of things going on there that aren't light enough for housewives. What about Jen Shaw? About Coach not being able to be there when her dad died?
I want to hear his side of it. I feel like, yes, obviously that can be traumatizing and awful, and she's still dealing with a lot of grief. We see that throughout this season. But I'm excited for the husbands to come in and get some of their perspective.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that will be interesting. I think he's catching a lot of flack for not being there. I've seen people do like deep dives on his football team schedule, where he was and if he was really in town or not. But I think that's a hard thing to time up if you need to fly in and someone is on their deathbed. That's a hard thing to, and they're in Utah, so weather could have been a factor if we're in football season. And I don't know. I think there's more to the story. I think he just like wasn't like, your dad's dying, fuck you, I have football. Like, I don't think
Yeah, I definitely don't see that. And especially when she had her whole breakdown after the trip, and the way he is with her, they've been married for 20 plus years for a reason, you know? He knows her, she knows him, and this is just a hard patch that is
And a woman like that, like, she's been like that her whole life.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, she really grew on me this season too. She's got a hard exterior, but I think she's
a marshmallow inside.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we move on to Below Deck briefly?
Yes.
Ugh, the last untouched series we had.
Oh, it was really not fun. Fun is the wrong word, but it was very cathartic to see like the dates that they put up and like, think back to where we were beginning of March and the Queen of Versailles saying it's just the Democrats pushing this agenda so Trump loses, like just all of it.
So this is dark, but AJ and I were discussing, did her husband make it? They're from Florida. He's geriatric. They didn't believe in masks. Did he see 2021?
I did go to her Instagram, but that wasn't at the forefront of my mind. But let me just do a quick little scroll.
I say there's no way that man made it out of Florida alive.
I wonder what all the poor people are doing.
Right? Like, come on. You know that man was in a boat parade. You know what? Of course he did. Of course he made it because he's rich. He probably already had a vaccine, even though, you know, it's just a liberal agenda.
Yeah, I think he's still around.
Rich get richer.
Yeah. Well, that was a journey. You need to go check out her Instagram when you get a chance.
No, thank you. And Eddie making first officer.
Oh, that made me cry. And what Captain Lee said about him, he's how I would have wanted my son to turn out if he lived. That's so sad.
I am glad Captain Lee's season was cut short. He needs to be home. He needs some healing. That was a little too soon, I think, for him to be back on board.
Yeah, for sure. And he started the season, remember, like breaking his ribs. I had forgotten all about that. What a rough year. God.
A little piece of Below Deck news that I stumbled into. So Bravo had that new show chat room, which Kate Chastain was in. Kate has not been on the last couple episodes. And it's rumored that she is going back because this is about the time of year they start filming Below Deck again.
What would make her go back? I feel like money.
Yeah, more money, of course.
Oh, God. I feel like she had other stuff going, you know, like this chat room. Well, yeah. I mean, she's getting paid for that.
The other theory is that she's been doing a lot of the galley talk episodes.
Mm.
And so maybe she was just busy filming those and that's why she couldn't be on chat room. But
I don't know. Mm.
Although I didn't hate Francesca.
No, I really didn't either. I feel like she got a shitty deal with what's her face?
What is with Elizabeth making fucking mustard gas?
Yeah. Right. Like a lot of little things add up into incompetence. And I think that's what people had a hard time seeing.
Yes.
All the little things and all the little things that they do every day, her Francesca having to cover for Elizabeth.
Right.
I mean, she should have been fired when she made the mustard gas. Like that's
100%. That's a deal breaker. I'm sorry.
Oh, shit. I'm like on a boat. What is wrong with you?
You just like endangered the entire boat. The entire boat. So yeah, that right there is grounds for like, and she tried to claim that she's been on boats for like years. And how?
Yeah. And she's been doing that for years specifically. I can't. Yeah, no. I do believe that a lot of the hate Francesca got for being a bad boss, if it was a man in the position, it would have been a different story.
100%. Well, because look at how Eddie handled James.
Right.
That was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll miss that one.
I know. I just love it.
For Below Deck Med with no Hannah.
Oh, I haven't heard anything. I haven't. Also, haven't looked.
Yeah, I haven't either. I haven't been keeping my
finger. But that's not what's Sailing Yacht is coming back, right?
Yes. Which I know people didn't like that first season, and it was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was a fine first season, but now they're getting a little bit bigger boat and different people. So
okay. Yeah, I think people's standards are too high. You have to remember the first seasons are hard. So I'm currently rewatching binging from the beginning, Married to Medicine and Summer House. And
in tandem.
you gotta cover a lot of ground. The first couple seasons are always hard to get through because they're still figuring it all out. You don't really know the characters. It's hard. You gotta like kind of slog through the first couple seasons. So, which I must say, PSA, if you have not watched Married to Medicine, I don't know what you're doing with your life.
Okay, you keep telling me this. I will.
I'm on season 3, I believe. I mean, the first season, we have a physical altercation. We have a child's paternity coming to light.
Oh.
There is a fat shaming situation that hasn't quite aged very well. But there's a couple things like that. There's like, that didn't do great. But if you recall from the early seasons of Atlanta, Dwight, who helped Sheree with She by Sheree, he is also there. And these women can throw shade like no other. I mean, it is just like rapid fire shade. It is the best. And we have like someone calling someone out to their face about how they paid for their house because there was a bank situation where they lost 50 grand. Oh. And she's saying like, well, how are you affording this house if you're renting this one and you couldn't even buy the other one? And it's just like, it's...
Okay. I know. Listen, it's on my list. I got to finish Dance Moms, then I'm in.
I'm into it.
I love it. What do we forget?
Summer House, but you can't talk about it because I'm only on season 3.
All I'm going to say about Summer House, the newest season, is I am team kick Luke and Hannah out of the house.
Oh, okay. So I'm on the season where Hannah just came, and obviously I'm aware of Hannah through, you know, the Bravo universe. Mm-hmm. And I've seen her on Chat Room, which I don't hate her on Chat Room, but I don't love her. I love her on Twitter, which is also where I know her from. Mm-hmm. I don't love her so far on Summer House. I don't know if you know this, but Hannah played tennis.
Oh, she continues to play tennis.
Oh, God.
She is... I liked her a lot before Luke came into the house.
Okay.
He comes in... What season are we in now? 5, 4. Season 4.
Okay. I do kind of feel like my opinion of her is being clouded a little bit.
Yeah, a lot of people have strong...
Yeah.
...things about her, but... You're in it. You're in the start of the really good seasons.
Yes. All right. I feel it coming. See, that's what I mean. Like the first couple seasons with the Workus Circus were entertaining, but I was on the Workus team, and then towards the end of season 2, I understood why people turned on them, and yeah. I turned on them as well.
I mean, it's a journey for sure.
One Workus is okay. Two Workuses is a tornado.
Workus eye.
Work eye.
All right. Thanks for listening. Let us know what your thoughts are on the Bolo of it all, the New Jersey of it all. We want to hear. You can find us on Instagram at OKSMomsBlog or email us, hey@OKSMoms.com. And we'll see you next week.
Happy Bolo Day.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at okayestmomsblog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.